is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I'll be hanging out with you for two more hours. How about this? It's a four-hour show. I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's in New York City. And you could be at work, you could be at home, you could be on the road, you could be somewhere else. I appreciate you for locking in. You can always tune in to the JR Sport Brief Show on the free Odyssey app. You can listen on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you have Sirius XM, yeah, satellite radio, it's channel 158. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. We've had a busy show so far. Thank you so much to our guest last hour, Daryl Ryder. 92.3 The Fan covers all things Cleveland Browns. He came through and chatted it up with us about Deshaun Watson. $230 million invested into this man. Another sexual assault lawsuit filed against him in civil court. And then he sucks on the football field. It's a hell of an investment. Maybe it'll turn around. I have no idea. We talked about some of the NFL players who are dealing with injuries. Miami Dolphins are getting it going tomorrow and to start off week two against the Buffalo Bills. Devon Achane dealing with an ankle injury. Raheem Mostert, who led the NFL in touchdowns last year with 21 total. He will not play tomorrow with a chest injury. Hassan Reddick still nowhere to be found with the New York Jets. T. Higgins still dealing with a hamstring issue. Lamar Jackson, even Lamar. Man, they got the Raiders next. I don't want to say that's a piece of cake, but it should be. Lamar Jackson didn't practice on Monday due to just general soreness dating back to last Thursday. I guess he got smacked around. Jordan Addison dealing with an ankle. They're going to need that man if they want to beat the 49ers. And so, yeah, we've gone through a lot. And, of course, it's Wednesday. In a few minutes, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. We're going to go through some of the top six upsets that we've seen in college football this past, or this century, I should say, not the past century. I can't go back that damn far. Come on now. But we're going to look at some teams that have just, let's just say, choked big time over the last, 20 to 25 years. Top six list every single Wednesday. But it's also my understanding that, Hickey, we got a little bit of news. I know Asia Wilson came back from an injury, and now she's made some history here. What's the deal with her?
That is correct. She has scored her 941st point of the season, which is a brand new WNBA single season record.
Wow. I know she's averaging 27, 28 points a game. I know this is her first game back. I think she missed a game recently due to a leg injury. And people always talk about, what Caitlin Clark is doing, and it is absolutely amazing because she's a rookie. Angel Reese is good in her own space, and now she's out for the year with that wrist injury. But Asia Wilson is the one that people say they haven't paid attention to her throughout the course of her career. And I don't know if this is a controversial thing to say or not. I think Asia Wilson is getting a lot of attention right now in the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark and because of Asia Wilson's own greatness. And people are starting to pay attention to her. Well, why didn't she get the attention? Multiple-time MVP, a two-time champion, trying to go for a three-peat. Hickey, do you think I said anything out of turn there?
No, and isn't that what we kind of talked about when Caitlin came into the WNBA? I was going to shine a light on other great players that maybe otherwise wouldn't get the recognition for their greatness that they deserve.
Yeah, it's just, Asia Wilson is 28 years old, been in the league since 2018. And one of the reasons I feel people really started to put a light on Asia Wilson when Caitlin got the shoe deal. People were like, hey, wait a minute, what about Asia? And that's not to say that she wasn't successful. I saw her busting ass in the Barclays Center last year in the finals, the WNBA finals. But hey, the more the merrier. You know what? We're going to get into, I don't want to say Caitlin Clark, but the commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, had some words about all of the attention, negative attention the WNBA has gotten. People were upset at her response. She pretty much said we need to kind of lean into some controversy. And there were people that didn't appreciate what she said. But we'll get into that. We have a lot to do as the show continues on. But you know what? It is Wednesday, as I mentioned. It's time for a new top six list. And speaking of controversy, today's top six list is inspired by a football game that took place this past Saturday. It was an embarrassment. This was a team that was expected to compete for a playoff spot, a championship. And now you ask me, they've fallen off. You know what? I'm not going to waste any time. Let's just get to it. It's time for a new top six list. It's time to go through some of the biggest football upsets in college football in this century. Let's go.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's time to get JR's latest top six list, only on the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm bringing you a new top six list. We're looking at some of the biggest upsets in college football this century. Yeah, give or take the past 24, 23 years, okay? And the game that we just had this past Saturday featuring Notre Dame, they inspired this list. And I'm not putting Notre Dame on this list more than once. Here's a little bit of a hint for you, so don't expect to see Navy. And so with this number,
number six,
I'm going with Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois. Like I said, I don't care about Navy in 2007. I can't just put every Notre Dame upset on my list. They lost 16-14. Marcus Freeman is running around telling everybody that my team, Notre Dame, they believe the hype. Well, they believe the hype and they fell. 13 spots in the AP rankings. They went all the way down to number 18. Bless your fault, Marcus Freeman. You know, we've heard for years Nick Saban, a championship coach, tell everybody that you can't ingest the rat poison. What everybody says in the media. Well, Notre Dame did. They might have cost themselves a playoff spot. They may not reach the top 12. They got some climbing to do. They got Purdue next, but forget them. They lost Northern Illinois. Hit a field goal, blocked a 62-yarder by Notre Dame to ultimately win it. You know what? Let's listen to this block, courtesy of Northern Illinois Radio.
Snap, hold, Jeter's kick. It's blocked. Picked up by NIU. The Huskies have done it. The Huskies with the biggest upset in NIU history. They come to South Bend, Indiana, and they knock off the number 5 team in the country. NIU 16, Notre Dame 14. The football gods were shining down on NIU.
Oh, man, I love college announcers. They're better than the professionals. Tom Brady making 300 and what? Who cares? 350, 70? Screw Tom Brady. Hire that guy. He's better. And I love the passion when the upsets actually happen. Let's listen to Northern Illinois head coach Thomas Hammack. He was crying on NBC after the victory.
I'm so proud of our kids, the coaches, just everybody. They believed. They believed. And we came here and got it done.
Yeah, I got that at number six. And it just took place. Top six college football upsets this century. What's the next number?
Number five.
We got to go to the year 2007. Unfortunately, one of the guys in this game, man, it's not even 20 years, damn. This guy is already in debt. Millions of dollars. I'm talking about Adrian Peterson. But the game, Boise State knocking off the Sooners. Yeah, they won in overtime, 43-42. The Sooners were favored by 7.5 points. Boise State actually had a 21-10 halftime lead. Oklahoma came through and said, here's 25 straight points for your face. Even Adrian Peterson, he broke the 35-35 tie in overtime with a run. I know he wishes he had the game ball right now so he could sell it. But then Boise, they threw a touchdown in overtime. And then they won on a two-point conversion that was a trick play. That's Statue of Liberty. Like, let me hand the ball behind my back and rush it in. Boise State knocked them off. And they did it with a bunch of trick plays. You know what? Let's listen to that two-point conversion that won it all in the Fiesta Bowl.
Boise State out of the huddle, trailing 42-41, going for a two-point conversion from the three-yard line. And it's a fake play, and they're going to score! Ian Johnson! They rolled the ball to Ian Johnson, and he scored! They left it down on the field. Zabransky faked the pass. Johnson picked up the ball and ran it in for a touchdown. And the Broncos have won the Fiesta Bowl! Can you believe it?
Yeah, Boise State is like the little engine that could. That game actually won an ESPY for best game of the year. Boise State knocking off the Sooners. I got them at number 5 on my list. Top 6 college football upsets this century. I got them at 5. What's next?
Number 4.
Man, I still can't believe this. I got a cousin who went to this school. They wear purple. Mascot and an emblem is a dog with a crown. I go, what the hell is this? It's James Madison University knocking off Virginia Tech. They beat them 21-16. How about this? On this day, September 11th, the year was 2010. Virginia Tech was ranked number 10 in the country. Virginia Tech has beaten the living hell out of James Madison University. You got to say the whole name. Before they lost this game, they beat them 90-0 in their prior two meetings. This one they lost 21-16. Drew Dudzik, this man had a 12-yard touchdown run to win it for James Madison. Let me say this again. Virginia Tech was ranked number 10 in the country. James Madison, their band is better than the football team. I'm just being honest. Listen to this upset from ESPN.
Who had not showed the pistol offense until today. Here's Dudzik. It's a race to the end zone. And the Dukes have the lead. That's it. James Madison has upset 13th-ranked Virginia Tech in Blacksburg.
Oh, come on, man. Hickey, you ever been down to James Madison University?
I actually drove by it last week.
Oh, how about that? You saw how... I don't know how brown it was. A lot of brick and brown right in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you are right on both accounts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And an ugly, I got it. That's some ugly purple. Why they got purple like that? Purple and silver? What type of crap is that?
You don't like it? I don't think it's terrible. It's like a bright purple.
It's bright. The mascot is a dog with the...
the Dukes.
Hickey, I like... I've been to a lot of colleges. They give me a lot of clothes, right?
Okay.
I wear it all the time. I wear stuff and people go, I wear a North Carolina state shirt and people go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I go, yeah, 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 right? I wear LSU shirt. They go, hey, yeah, LSU. I go, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, I went to school in Baton Rouge. Like, I would never wear no JMU stuff, man. Never.
Wow.
Too bright. And I love purple, but that's too bright.
You're
Sorry.
More of a subtle man, huh?
I like a lighter shade of purple. Not that bright-ass purple. I wear a shirt with the Tulane wave on. I got clothes with the wave, the green wave, or the blue wave, whatever it is. And that looks stupid, but I'm not wearing no purple dog on my shirt. Anyway, congratulations to James Madison for beating Virginia Tech in 2010. Okay, I got that number 4 on my list. College football upsets this century. What's the next number?
Number 3.
Okay. I like this one. We got an HBCU on here. That's right. Okay. We got the Bison. Yeah, I'd wear that. Howard, all my friends out in D.C. on the Hill. We got an FCS school that beat UNLV. It was in 2017. We had Cam Newton's little brother. Kalen Newton had more than 300-plus yards offense that he generated to go along with three touchdowns. Now, this is what you call an ass whooping. Howard got paid $600,000 to beat UNLV. UNLV was a 45-point favorite over Howard. Let me say that again. They were expected to beat them by more than 45 points. Howard went out there, and they got the victory. You know what? Let's take a listen to the final call.
Rodgers scrambling around. He has some room to throw it.
There was a team there.
And now let's see if they can pitch it back. It's Thomas. Thomas should have pitched it back. And that's the ball game at a huge upset here at Sam Boyd Stadium.
Hickey, those were the losers. I get those losers. They sounded a little miserable like that.
For whatever reason, you would think Howard would want, you know, all over the internet that call or those highlights. UNLV was the only one putting out anything. Go figure.
Hey, that shows you how much of an upset it is. Maybe Howard didn't have the funds to send a broadcast team. I don't know. They could have taken out of that $600,000. Howard beat UNLV. The final score there was 43-40. Shout outs to an HBCU out there doing it big. Now, if you want to talk about a 45-point spread, this next one is ridiculously big. What's the next number on the list?
Number two.
Top six college football upsets this century. This team was a 41-point underdog. I'm talking about Stanford when they went to take on USC in 2007. A 41-point underdog. USC was ranked second in the country. USC won 35 straight games at home. Stanford was a 41-point underdog. And at this point, back in 2007, they didn't have a winning season in 7 years. But don't worry about it. Jim Harbaugh, first-year head coach, helped Stanford beat the Trojans 24-23. Stanford forced 5 turnovers. They blocked an extra point. They win 24-23. Savita Pritchard had his first start for Stanford. This guy's a backup. This man went out there and rushed for the game-winning score. You know what? Let's listen to this late touchdown, the final call, in Jim Harbaugh before he was cheating. This is on the Versus channel.
Fourth and goal from the 10. Pritchard, straight drop, goes to the fade to the other side. Bradford, touchdown, USC! Stanford, touchdown, Stanford, my goodness!
Fourth down and 16. They only rush 3. Booty's got time, hit as he throws, and it's going to be picked off. This one's in the books. Bo McNally just takes a knee at the 48-yard line. Stanford is going to upset the number one team in the country.
It's the greatest feeling I think I've ever felt, and I feel it for my players. I just love it. We're so close right now. Great win for the program.
I think I know the greatest feeling in his life now, the one that he got a tattoo over, winning that championship earlier this year. Thank you, Coach Harbaugh, for helping Stanford walk away with that upset. Knocking off USC. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, as we chatted up right now about some of the biggest upsets we've seen in college football in recent years, I'm going to come back and I'm going to share with you number one.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. It's Wednesday, and we're talking about pressure. I'm giving you a new top six list, and we're taking a look at some of the biggest upsets in college football this century. You could thank Notre Dame from this past Saturday for the inspiration. And in a second, I'm about to share with you the biggest upset that we've had here over the last, I don't know, 23, 24, 25 years. Let me give you a quick recap if you missed it. You can always hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. At number six, I gave you the most recent upset and the inspiration. Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois. Notre Dame was They were consuming that rat poison, as per Nick Saban, reading their own press clippings, thinking that they were bigger than their britches. At number five, I gave you Boise State versus Oklahoma. That Fiesta Bowl back in 2007, Boise State, they won 43-42. We had a bunch of trick plays. We had Boise State knocking off those Sooners, and they did it with a Statue of Liberty play on a two-point conversion. At number four, top six college football upsets this century, James Madison University knocking off Virginia Tech. They beat them 21-16. James Madison not supposed to beat anybody at football. They should beat you in the battle of the bands, and that's about it. And I only say that because my cousin was in the band. Good for him, JMU. Not no football team, damn it. Come on now. Stop. At number three, top six college football upsets this century. Howard. Yeah, that's right, Howard. D.C., HBCU. They beat UNLV 43-40. Cam Newton's little brother, Kalen Newton, went crazy. More than 300 yards total offense, three touchdowns. UNLV was a 45-point favorite. Howard got paid $600,000 to go out there and beat UNLV. At number two, I gave you Stanford and USC. Big time. Big money. You can thank Jim Harbaugh for coming through, basically showing up first year with Stanford, knocking off USC, ranked number two in the country. Jim Harbaugh's team forced five turnovers, blocked an extra point. They win 24-23. I wonder if Harbaugh had anybody in the stands scouting the week before. I have them at number two, Stanford knocking off USC. And so if we want to talk about some of the biggest upsets in college football, if we want to think about recent memory, this ain't that far ago, is it? Like 20 years, not a long time. A little less than that, to be honest. We got to go back to 2007, where I now share with you this.
Number one.
Appalachian State versus Michigan. Michigan can't escape the news in any capacity, can they? The answer's no. Not for cheating this year. We'll get to Sharon Moore later. But the fact is, if we go back to 2007, Hickey, you said this was the first Big Ten network game ever?
First official broadcast.
Wow. What a first official broadcast it was. Now it's been shut down. Anyway, Michigan was ranked fifth at the time. Appalachian State, they were FCS champs. Let me say that again. FCS champs. Not even in the same division. Appalachian State got paid $400,000. And they beat Michigan. They kicked a field goal to take the lead. Then they blocked a field goal to win the game. Appalachian State comes out on top of the big, bad boys of Michigan. The final score there, 34-32. I want you to listen to this final call, this blocked field goal from the Appalachian State Radio Network. And then I want you to hear from their head coach, Jerry Moore, talk about the win on the Big Ten Network. That is, well, anyway, take a listen.
37-yard field goal. This is it. This is it right here. Ginsel ready. The snap's good. The whole
block!
The kick's the kick is
good.
The Mountaineers are going to try to take
it. It's
to the Big House.
Johnson in the Big House.
20, 15, 10. The Mountaineers have just beaten the Michigan Wolverines. The Mountaineers of Appalachian State have just beaten the Michigan Wolverines in the Big House.
We got a great bunch of young players here. We just they're hard workers. They're committed to our school and our program. And this is just a crowning achievement for them right here. Even it won't be any more important than those last two national championships, but it certainly ranks right in there close. And it just shows you, I think, what we've got good football in 1AA football, what used to be 1AA football. We're proud of our football team, and we beat a good Michigan football team right here on this field. That's what's so remarkable about this.
Damn. Hickey, did he say that the two FCF championships were more important than beating Michigan?
He did say that. How about that?
Wow. I would have thought that beating Michigan was more important than winning two FCF titles. Okay. All right. Okay. Whatever he says. Whatever he says. I don't know about that one. I would think that would be his crowning achievement. We ain't talking about his FCS back-to-back titles. We're talking about him knocking off Michigan. Now, here's a better question. Hickey, how much do the college announcers get paid? They get something, right? A stipend, credit? They get something, right? Money?
They get something. I would venture to say not much.
Okay. Is it worth blowing out your vocal cords for then all that then?
For kid, this game, yes.
That kid, he might have ruined his whole future just on that one call.
And it will live forever.
Well, yeah, you're right. You think he plays that for his friends? No, you can't do that, right? No.
Oh, I think you have to.
No.
The anniversary every year. It's probably right around this time. I think it was the opening game of the season, so.
No. At what point do you just say, hey, you know, I was on the call? When do you do that? You can't. It's kind of corny, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's cool, though. That's cool. Like, I'm not saying you have to bring it up to every new person you meet, but I'm sure if you have good friends, like, hey, you know who this guy is? Remember when App State beat Michigan, you probably heard a screechy kid calling the game. There's the kid.
Have you ever played some of your own audio for somebody?
No. Is,
no?
Have you?
Yeah. You ever heard of Omar from Brooklyn? You know who that is, right?
Well,
yeah. And it makes sense now, doesn't it, right?
You share Omar and Brooklyn's calls with your friends? That makes sense.
It's only one call. Only one call. One call. Because Omar started off like this, very, very low. And then Omar went very loud like that kid.
While driving, too?
I don't know what he was doing. I have no idea. This is one of my. This had to be in 2018, one of my first times on radio. Now, Omar from Brooklyn, and this guy lost his mind.
About what? Was it the Knicks?
I think it had to have been the Knicks, yeah. It was the Knicks. Knicks are so bad. He started off sounding like Mother Teresa. He ended sounding like Dennis Rodman. I'm like, okay, dude. Or Gene Simmons. I'm like, what are you doing?
Wow.
Marco Belletti, you know Omar from Brooklyn, right?
I've talked to him a few times, yes. Love Omar.
Oh my goodness. Oh man. Does he have like a battery in his bag? He gets wound up as he goes on, right?
It's really if you haven't heard it, it's something to actually just to kind of take it in, because the idea that he goes from 0 to 100, but he takes his time to get there, and then once he gets there, it's over. You have no idea what he's saying anymore, and it's just tremendous. It really is. It's tremendous. It's like art.
Hello, Marco. How are you?
Yeah. You would think, like a normal conversation, and he gets there. It feels like it's a slow build, but in reality, it takes like 15 seconds. It's just he does it so perfectly.
Yeah, he sounds like the Tasmanian devil. By the time we get to one of them, that's what he sounds like at the end of those calls, man. And so, Hickey, to answer your question, yes, I have shared audio. You know, just standing around, sitting around going, you know what? Yeah. There was this guy. One time, you got to listen to this guy. It's very well worth it. So for all of the college students out there, save your vocal cords, okay? I don't think it's worth that damn much money. And who am I to say? I don't know. I just sit here and talk. My voice hurts now as I speak. I'll make it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Do you have a recent college football upset? Is there an upset that stands out to you? I mean, there was another one with Navy, but I didn't want to, you know, slap Notre Dame on the list again. I know here in Georgia, from my years here, there's a lot of conversations about the real GSU, whether it's Georgia State or Georgia Southern, you know, knocking off the Gators. And so if you feel that we have missed a recent upset, feel free to call us 855-212-4227. Please don't call me about a game that took place in 1917. I didn't see it, and I don't think anybody else remembers. Spare yourself. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back as well, since we had Michigan, we just mentioned them, Appalachian State beating them, we're going to talk about the current edition of Michigan, because their head coach, Sharon Moore, this man has been coaching without a contract up until now. We'll get into that on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I just gave you a new top six list. Took a look at some of the biggest college football upsets that we have seen this century. And at number one, I gave you Appalachian State versus Michigan in the year 2007, as Appalachian State won 34-32. Knocked down a field goal to take the lead, blocked the field goal to ultimately win the game, and they got paid $400,000 to beat the Wolverines. It's nice when you get paid to show up and basically be a punching bag. Not the most competitive thing in the world, but every now and then you get an upset like the one I just shared with you. If you missed the entire list, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. And speaking of the Wolverines, this is a college football program that is currently in transition. Jim Harbaugh, who also, by the way, made the list, number two, Stanford knocking off USC in 2007. He was the head coach of Stanford at the time. We know that he has made another transition from the Wolverines to the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are now 1-0 after knocking off the Raiders this past Sunday. And the Wolverines have been left with their former offensive coordinator. Now their current head coach in Sherrone Moore. He took over full-time this year, after last year having to pick up some of the slack after Jim Harbaugh was kind of, self-imposed suspension, recruiting violations, sign stealing, and what have you. Sherrone Moore took over when they beat Penn State. And then after that game, I don't want to say it was hilarious, but it was a lot of butt kissing. Do you need a reminder? Let's go back to last year in November. Sherrone Moore, he was very emotional after they knocked off Penn State. This is from Fox.
Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh. Love you, man. Love you, man. This is for you. For this university, the president, our AD. We got the best players, best university, best alumni in the country. Love you guys. These guys right here, man. These guys did it. Talk to him, man. Love you.
Well, he better be thanking everybody again. Thank Harbaugh and thank the administration. Thank everybody. Everybody. Because he finally signed himself a new contract. They said they've been working on this deal since January. They just got it done right now. After two games here in the season, Michigan knocked off a Fresno State 30-10. Okay, they should have. And then they lost to Texas. No surprise there. Texas is probably going to finish number two or three in the entire country. They lost to them 31-12. And Sherrone Moore now has a deal that's paying him $500,000 a season. He's getting $5 million just out the gate. Go get a house. Go get a car. Don't worry about money. That's just this year. And then his salary would increase by 2% every year. $500,000 bonus for every year he sticks around as head coach. It's just whatever. Here's another $500,000 for winning a conference championship, not happening this year. Here's $1 million for winning a national championship. I don't know if they'll let him stick around long enough to see it. But good luck to him, right? I don't want to say this is an impossible deal. How do you follow up Harbaugh? How do you follow up, with what he's left behind? Scandal, cheating, investigations. Like, Jim Harbaugh was the top of the totem pole. He took him to the mountaintop, especially after he was going to get the boot. Let's be real. They almost fired him. He turned things around. Got him a national championship. got in trouble along the way, not because maybe he did anything, but the people underneath him get in trouble, then you get in trouble too. And he left. He left on top. You think Sharon Moore is going to be around to fix things? Nope. Hell no. It ain't happening. Hickey, you think he'll be around for a turnaround? I don't think so.
I'm with you. There's a long road to hoe, and that's also, too, by the way, I mean, when these sanctions, if when they come down, can only make it even more difficult to build up, I don't think he'll see the end of this rebuild.
Oh, they're going to fire him. No, I'm just, why are you laughing? It's not a funny thing, but it's facts.
No, I just like how matter of fact you are.
No, they are. He's not going to see it. I'm reading off all these bonuses in his new contract, and maybe that's the protection he wanted. Yeah, give me $5 million now because I know you're going to fire me in 2 years. That's just what it is. They're going to fire him. There's going to be sanctions. This is the same dude who was saying, hey, you know, he allegedly deleted text messages between him and Connor Stallions. The sign-stealing guy, he's Sharon Moore is just like, oh, yeah, I can't wait for people to actually see the messages. Okay, all right. You want to be that bold? Okay, fine. Let's see what happens when they suspend him again. Not so damn easy. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's go ahead and talk to Lee from Cincinnati. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Lee?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, JR. And I just got to say this right now, okay? Bottom line is I've been saying this since before the season started.
Okay.
About the Florida Gators. They were a great program. At one time, they are no longer. And I've been saying what they needed to do was lose for Lane. All right? And that's been my mantra. I've said it on a number of different places. And now it seems like it actually may come to fruition because Mike Griffin, don't know if you know who he is, but he's even said that the Gators now have the $26 million buyout that they need for Billy Napier, and their top target is going to be Lane Kiffin after the season. So what do you think? Because I think that's going to turn the Gators back around into a winning team.
Well, I
hope it does.
Well, thank you, Lee. I'm not watching them until they turn things around. It ain't going to be this year. The last time I gave a damn about even watching the Gators is when Anthony Richardson was out there, and that was just to see him do a bunch of backflips. So I guess that tells you how much stock I have in them. And then as it relates to Lane Kiffin, like I'm not going to make 1 + 1 = 2. Tell him to win something in the SEC with the team he currently has. Can he do something over there first at Ole Miss?
I can tell you right now he's going to do something with Ole Miss. He's going to take Ole Miss to the playoffs, and I think he's going to win at least one, if not two games in the college football playoff.
Why? Because we have an expanded playoff?
Actually, yes, because we have an expanded playoff and because his team is that good. And because he's going to show why. Expanded playoffs are the best thing that ever happened because what it gives everybody is gives everybody hope. People didn't have hope beforehand. I mean, go ahead and say what you want to. Okay, and go ahead and mean it. But, man, I know you're going to because trust me. And you're what you say, and I take total faith in what you say, and I honor it. But let me tell you right now, Ole Miss is going to be good, and Lane Kiffin is going to take them there, and then he's going to turn around and take the Gators to the national championship. You heard it here first.
Oh, damn. All right, that's a hell of a fast forward. Thank you, Lee, for calling from Cincinnati. Hickey, how many teams does he take? Can he take one first? He got to take two?
I couldn't agree more.
He got him on a team he's not even on yet.
Right. And he's going to take them to the promised land despite him at any other previous junction not getting his teams even close to the promised land.
Then Ole Miss is going to win a championship this year, and he's going to go to Florida next year and win the championship again. Or maybe give him some grace 2 years from now, okay? 2 years from now with the Gators. Lee, can we slow down a little bit? Can we? Can we see him? Okay, fine. We got an expanded playoff right now. Is he going to beat Georgia? And I know this is a different version of Alabama. Are they going to beat them? You know, when it's all said and done, they going to beat Texas? Like, come on. I don't care what Lane Kiffin has done, what he's capable of doing. Tell me when he's knocked off one of these other SEC teams. You're already telling me about the Gators. Slow down. Really, slow down. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know, earlier in the show, we did a lot of talking about injuries in the NFL. We got one guy who's injured. He says, I'm trying to play on Sunday. I don't know about y'all. He's one of the best players in the league. I'm going to tell you who might be making a return on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You can also still call me, 855-212-4227.